But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written,
be ye holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God. And we will not meet him like most of you want to meet him tonight, unless we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and we become holy in our daily living. I want to say thank you to those involved in having me here tonight. And thank you for the opportunity of sharing God's word. There have been those that have said, spoken about this generational thing, you know. I think I hear what you said, Brother Ken, but I'm not sure if I like that. Because I also read in the Bible, when Jesus was being questioned about whose wife shall she be in the kingdom, have you not read? There's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, Scythian or barbarian, because we're all one in Christ Jesus. You know what, young folks? You're just like us old folks are. You know what, old folks? You're just like them, because we're all one in Christ Jesus. Nobody is any better than anybody else. If I cut my finger, guess what comes out? The same thing that comes out of yours. When I've been in other countries and I've preached in other countries, I tell them just because I'm the missionary from America doesn't make me any better. I breathe the same breath that you breathe, some air you breathe. And I bleed the same color blood that you bleed. But I can enter into the kingdom of heaven only by the same blood that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. There is no other way. Now, I don't know where I'm going with my sermon tonight because I haven't got out my notes yet. But I got acquainted with some of you folks. I didn't get acquainted with any of you folks back then. But there are some of your parents, some of your grandparents at, well, we're not going to go any more than that, that I did get acquainted with 49 years ago. Matter of fact, 50 years ago, this September, I got acquainted with the people here at the Meridian Church. How many were here 50 years ago? My, what a wonderful representation. You can put your hand down now, Dennis. Dennis was one of my buddies back then. You're going to have to renew that, you know. Second childhood's coming along. What a privilege to stand before you tonight to share the Word of God. Never thought that I'd live to this point in time. I thought Jesus was going to come before now. And here we are. We are living in probably the most exciting time that has been known to mankind. Now, believe me, it was pretty exciting when Jesus hung on the cross. That was an exciting time. Because that was a special time that Jesus made the way so that you and I can have life eternally. Passover is a wonderful time. Every one of us need to experience Passover in our lives. Because without that, I don't like the consequences otherwise. It's not good. We all need to experience that shed blood of Jesus in our lives. But today, we're living in a different era. We can talk about the paths of our fathers, returning to the old paths. We can talk about that. We can learn about that. We can research and study about that. That's good. But I believe that we need something tonight
that has been a consistent need since the garden, the fall in the Garden of Eden. We need a Savior. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We can return to a bunch of old paths. And we can be just like the hard shell Baptist was. He says, well, my daddy was a hard shell Baptist. My granddaddy was a hard shell Baptist. And my great granddaddy was a hard shell Baptist. And if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. And you can die being a hard shell Baptist. And chances are, miss the most important thing of life. Now, some of you set me straight if I say something a mistake, I say something wrong. Brother Jonathan, he's right here real quick to set me straight. And by the way, his father is one of the most wonderful people in this whole world, too. And his mother, she was. I was sad to hear of her passing. Let me see if I can get this straight. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 14:6, that the Sabbath is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he keep the Sabbath. What? No, what was, I heard something over here.
Jesus is the way.
Oh, that's right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what? The Sabbath is a truth, right? Water baptism by immersion is a truth, right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, there's three times it's spoken of in the book of Acts that they spoke in tongues. One time, it doesn't say they spoke in tongues. It doesn't say they didn't either. So I'm looking at the principle. We have to look at Scripture as a principle. So when we think about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's not what John 14:6 says, is it? It may be a truth. There may be a whole lot of other truths and doctrines that we tack on to say, this is what we believe. But if you miss what Jesus said, I am the truth, not a truth. Jesus is the Word. He is the light of the world. He is the truth, all-encompassing. Jesus. There's no other way to enter the kingdom of heaven without Jesus. You think I should get to my sermon notes? That was all for free. God has been so good to us. And when His Spirit falls upon you and you feel His Spirit, it's precious. We've had some precious camp meetings here in the past 49 years that I've been coming. I heard what Brother Ben said last night. Does anybody remember what Brother Ben said last night? Oh, he said a lot of stuff. That's right. Okay. Which part? When he read Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, he said that he was going to zero in on the middle part of the verse because he wanted everybody to love him when he got done. Well, he implied that part. And he said, immediately following thereafter, that he was hoping that someone would address the latter part yet to come. Brother Carson, did you do that this morning? He's not giving me an immediate response. I'm sure his sermon was good, but they had me tied up in Caldwell this morning and I couldn't be here. My apologies. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. I want us to get a hold of this tonight. I don't know how much you have heard on this chapter yet, but I want you to get a hold of this chapter tonight. There's another chapter I want you to get a hold of. We're living in some tough times in America. We're living in some exciting times in America. In Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm going to begin in verse 1. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakserem, for evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. As I'm reading this, I want you to think where Jerusalem was. They were not serving God. They were considered God's people, but they were not serving God. In the 21st century, they would be called, we would call them Christians, but they have idolatrated themselves with everything except loving Jesus and having a relationship. They have this religion. They have that religion. They have another religion. You know what? I heard years ago, well, all religions lead to the same place anyhow. And I said, no, I've come to change my mind. I agree, all religions lead to the same place. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. It's only a relationship with Jesus Christ that will give you life, and that abundantly. Jerusalem was like America is today. Our hearts need to be crying out for what's happening in our nation. Jerusalem was where America is today. We're going to read some more and learn some more about this. And listen to what's happening. Violence, verse 7, and spoil is heard in her. Did anybody read the news in the past few days? Did you see anything that said anything about violence? I'm looking for the front page of the newspaper, the USA Today, that says, Hallelujah, Jesus is coming. On the front page of the paper. Wouldn't that set some people off the rocker? Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. They have no delight in this book. When I think of the land of my nativity, I think of the land that I have lived in all my life, except the short little periods of times that I've been in other countries on mission trips. This is not the land that I grew up in. America is not the place that I was born in, not the America we have today. And you folks that are of my generation that were here 49 years ago, my heart weeps for our children. My heart weeps for our grandchildren. I look at those in my generation and I say, what happened? We dropped the ball someplace. I was just sharing with a young man, well, young to me anyhow. I think he's 39 is all. Just earlier this week, he's having marital problems. His choice. He was at my home. He didn't want to be there, but the situation demanded him to be there, which it was kind of neat. I had a captive audience. He's buying a property from me, and he was 3 months behind on payment, and so it was either get here or move. So he was there, with money, by the way. And I looked him in the eye, and I says, Loopy, I says, any man can live for the world. Any man can just be a no-good bum. Any man can live your life and just whatever you want to do at the time, whatever makes you happy at the moment. But Loopy, let me tell you something. A real man will serve Jesus. A real man will have a backbone and stand up right. A real man will pay his bills on time. And a real man will lead his family in the things of God. A real man will take his wife and children to church and not send them. And I was serious, just like I am right now. Any cop out can send their wife and their kids. If that touches any toes tonight, you can make a decision tonight. That's not going to be me any longer. I'm going to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to be that new creature. I want to be the husband, the father, the grandfather that God has called me to be. To instruct, to lead, to guide, to direct, and to be that example that God has called me to be. America is lacking that big time today. Jerusalem was lacking that big time where we're reading in Jeremiah 6. They had no delight in the word of God. Verse 11, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. Jeremiah's writings, I've held it in as long as I can hold it. And he's letting it out. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. Now, surely we don't have that problem in America, do we? Maybe that's the number two problem, or number three. I don't know. From the least to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. John Rockefeller, a number of years ago, one of the richest men in the world, he was asked the question, how much money does it take to satisfy a man? Now, surely, as much as he had ought to know, hadn't he, wouldn't you think? He had such an apt answer. Hit the nail on the head, just a little bit more than what he has. He had not learned contentment that the Apostle Paul taught us. We are to be content in whatever state we are in. Not just a little more covetousness. From the prophet. Oh, surely not from them. Even under the priest. You mean our church leaders? Dealeth falsely. God help America. We saw the signs up all over the country, everywhere, right after 9/11. It says, God bless America. Wrong. God bless America. God bless. Wrong. Let's turn that around. It's time for America to bless God. America, bless God. You think we have any blessings from God today? America is so full of God's blessings, and we don't appreciate it. America, bless God. Verse 14, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We have our peace conference, peace summits, world peace summits, and all this stuff. It's a sham. When we have men, world leaders around the world coming together trying to bring world peace that do not have a relationship with the Prince of Peace, how do you suppose they're going to make this work? You know what? I see a lot of faces right here, right now, before me, that have more peace and more knowledge and understanding how to bring world peace than all of the world peace leaders in the world. Because you have the Prince of Peace dwelling in your hearts. Verse 15. We're almost to verse 16 here. Coming right along. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Who is in charge? I think God has the final word. They were ashamed, or were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? We look at what is happening in America right now. Abortion is a murderous subject. Point blank, abortion is a murderous subject. It is murder, period. From the first moment, we can talk about trimesters, we can talk about this and that and whatever. When that child is conceived, this conception was not just by accident. There was something greater. Abortion is murder. But there's something that my heart detests even more than abortion. It is so unnatural. And it's what is happening and being promoted all across our land. It's being pumped up and pumped up and pumped up. And you know, all know what I'm talking about. Just in case somebody doesn't, it's called sodomy. Some people call it homosexuality. Some people call it an alternate lifestyle. If you're going to use terminology, let me put it correctly. An alternate, it's not an alternate lifestyle, it's a death style. You know, I have a simple cure for it. The first simple cure I have, turn to Jesus. He loves you. You know who he died for? All of those people too. He died for them. He loved them enough to give his life for them while they slap him in the face. Kick him out. He died for them. All the lesbians and homosexuals in the United States, all over the whole world, Jesus died for them. That's my number one cure for them. My number two cure for homosexuality and lesbianism. Sometimes we like to have a little fun sometimes, you know. We don't get too spiritual sometimes. And so this is not, this is off the side of the spirituality part. I'd like to take all the homosexuals and I'm going to take them all out and put them on a paradise island in the Atlantic Ocean. We'll do food drops, whatever they need, you know, we'll be very humanitarian to them and take care of them, everything. We won't land there. We'll just do the drops. Yeah. And at the same time, we're going to take all the lesbians and over here on the Pacific Ocean and we're going to find a really nice paradise island and we're going to put them all out there. And it was the same. We'll be very, very kind to them and treat them very nice. Guaranteed in one generation, they're gone. There's no more. God calls that stuff an abomination. There's a lot of things he calls sin. But when it comes to that, he says it's an abomination. Jerusalem at this time was even involved in that very thing. That's why God was pronouncing judgment on them. Verse 16. Did I get to verse 16 yet? Let's do it anyhow. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. It wasn't just any old path, but it was the old paths based upon this book. I appreciated what a verse that Brother Wes Higgins, Pastor Wes Higgins said earlier. He just kind of referred to this verse about the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers and so on. This is Acts 2:42. That's one of my favorite verses. Acts 2:42. What kind of doctrine do you suppose that the disciples preached? Did we have the church of St. Andrew and the church of St. Peter and the church of St. John and so on and so forth? Do you know, when Peter preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost, just after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, it says it was 9 o'clock in the morning when he preached, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And verse 42, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers and the breaking of bread. Now my question is, what was their doctrine? If I went through this congregation tonight, I'll bet that I could find at least three different doctrines that would be, you don't agree with you, and you don't agree with you, and that kind of thing. I'll bet I could probably find maybe at least three. You think? Maybe more? What was the apostles' doctrine? All of them. Not just one or two. All of the apostles. What was the disciples? What was their doctrine? I'm setting you up now. Be careful. The next question I have, I want your answer. When the day of Pentecost came and Peter preached that powerful sermon and 3,000 souls were added to the church, tell me how long had been ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. 10 days. 10 days. They had only been by themselves 10 days. So I suppose in those 10 days' time, they had so much schisms and divisions and arguments and heated stuff and everything between themselves that you better go out over on this street corner and build your own church. And I don't agree with the way you do this. And I'm going to go over and build mine over here. And I'm going to see if I can win more souls to my church than you get to your church. I don't think so. It had only been 10 days. What do you suppose their doctrine was? They had just spent 3.5 precious years with Jesus, their Savior. They watched him be betrayed. They watched him hang on a tree. Peter heard that rooster crow out there. And I believe that when Peter heard that rooster crow, he had to go find a place and get on his knees before God and cry out for repentance. The thief hanging on the cross, Jesus, he knew he was wrong. He knew he was a sinner. He cried out to Jesus for mercy. And Jesus said, "Today thou wilt be with me in paradise." Will Jesus refuse an honest heart that cries out for his help? No way. I believe Jesus loves every sodomite in this country, but he hates their sin. He hates it. He detests it. He can't stand it. Back to Jeremiah chapter 6 here. With Jerusalem. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk in them. Now listen, Brother Ben, last night, when he said that that's the part that he was going to zero in on, and he left the last part. So it's his fault that I have to say this tonight. So anybody has any repercussion about what I'm about to say here, the rest of the sermon, you be sure and let Brother Ben know, okay? Of course, I've only known him since he was two when I first knew him, but I shouldn't say things like that. It starts telling stories on me. The end of this verse says, this is the response from Jerusalem. But they said, "We will not walk therein. We will not walk therein." What if, you young people, what if your father came to you and said, you know, you were kind of into some stuff that wasn't too good. Your father comes to you and says, "Son, daughter, we need to talk about some things." Does anybody like those kind of deals? You know, dad comes along, "We need to talk about some things." No. If that happens, it's serious. You need to listen. And they talk about these things that maybe something you're into is, they see it taking you down a wrong road. They are there to rescue you. They are there to pull you away from the enemy of your soul, because Satan wants to steal you and he wants to destroy you. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy," in that order. But he went on to say, here comes dad now. He went on to say, "But I am come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Here is Judah. "We will not walk therein." "I'm sorry, Dad, but I just can't do that old fogey stuff anymore. I'm an adult now. You know, I am 13. I can make my own decisions." I hope to talk about a man that thought he was making his own decisions and he goofed up. I may not get there tonight. Can I put this, if I don't get it done, can I put preach the rest of it next year? No, just kidding. We will not hearken. Does that make your heart sad? Do you hear the sadness of the Father's heart? When the people of Judah says, we will not hearken. We will not walk therein. Verse 17 says, also I set watchmen over you. Your pastor, the elder in the church, a deacon. I set watchmen over you saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're quite happy, thank you. We like it our way. And we're just going to do it our way. You have no place in our business. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. Turn with me to Psalm 81. Got to go the right direction in your Bible, don't you? That's before Jeremiah. Psalm 81. The first part of this chapter sounds pretty wonderful. But we get on down in it, it's going to set our ears up to listen. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Thank you, worship team, for bringing some lively songs tonight. You know, I love the songs of just adoration and worship. But I felt tonight, I didn't say anything to anybody. I thought, you know, if they don't do a lively song or two or three, I'm going to start with that tonight. I'm just going to do it on my own here and get you to join in. Thank you, worship team. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord God of Jacob. Take a song, a psalm, and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. We didn't have maybe a timbrel, but we have some beautiful instruments here tonight. Wonderful, lovely. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon. In the time appointed on our solemn feast day, for this was the statute for Israel and the law of God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledest a trouble in trouble. And I delivered thee, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Or that Selah means ponder. Take note, listen. And then he goes on in verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. He's pleading with his people. He's pleading with them. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God. In other words, you don't need another. I am the Lord thy God. Can we all say that? I am the Lord thy God. What does the first commandment say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is pleading with his people then. He's pleading with his people today. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Do you want more of God in your life tonight? Do you desire a greater touch from God Almighty? Are you thirsting and hungering for more of him? In your heart, in your soul, your entire being, that you would just be filled with his glory, with his presence. Verse 11. I don't even want to read it. It turns. We have had the pleading, the calling. And verse 11 says, but. Uh-oh. You already got a clue. But. Are you familiar with that old expression? Has anybody heard that before? Yes, but. Yes, but. That's kind of like one word, I guess. Yes, but. Well, that's what they're doing right here. But my people. He still calls them my people. He loves them. He says, my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. They gave me no choice. I pleaded with them. I called them. I wept for them. Not just once, not just twice, but continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I weep for my people. And they would not come unto me. So, verse 12, I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts. And they walked in their own counsels. I know I'm not going to get to this tonight. But I want to get to this one that keeps bugging me here. About Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Rehoboam did not listen to the counsels, the counsel of God. Rehoboam did not listen to the elders of Israel, the godly, righteous men he did not listen to. But he went to these young bucks over here, his age. You know, we're in the 21st century, and that old time garbage back there that daddy did, that was something different, huh? And he went to his peers. Now, there's no offense on any of you folks here just because you're younger. You know, I wished I was your age and had my understanding and knowledge today. But Rehoboam goes to his peers. And you know, they gave him a totally different counsel than what the fathers of Israel gave. And you know what happened? It cost Rehoboam his kingship. That's what it cost him. He wasn't the king for too long after that. He got removed from the throne because he did not follow. Where's that theme? Somebody didn't put it up here this year, huh? I'm going to use a theme right here. Because he did not follow in our father's footsteps. Rehoboam did not follow in his father's footsteps. And I'm not just talking about Solomon, his father, but I'm talking about his grandfather as well, David. Got him in trouble. Verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies. I was there for them to win the war. And they wouldn't come unto me. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't bow their hearts to honor who I am. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. You know, in my sermon notes, I'm right here. And I'm not going to bore you because God's given us a sermon tonight. That's what man put together, and this is the man. I believe we've heard from God tonight. God is pleading church. And I'm not talking about the Church of God, Seventh Day, this or that or whatever. I'm not talking about the Baptists or the Assembly of God, the Nazarenes or whatever. Because there's only one church. I'm not putting down anything that you precious people have going here for God. So I think Brother Rodney knows that. Thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing. It's precious. But even in that, there's only one church. You know what? We need to be working together. Do you know why the world looks at the church and says, oh, that bunch of people, they are fighting all the time. This church fights with that church, and that church sues that church, and this church, and that church, and blah, 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 blah. Them Christians, I don't want anything to do with them. But that's what Christianity is all about. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody say anything like to that nature? Yeah, man, I have. The church, the blood-washed church of Jesus Christ is the only church that's going to have eternal life. And the blood-washed church of Jesus Christ needs to stand up and start working together today. We need to encourage one another. Take your denominational label and put it under the book or someplace. Don't put it on top. Put your denominational label someplace else. And put Jesus Christ on the front cover. And love your neighbor as he's called you to love your neighbor. Treat your brother and sister like family. But Pastor, you don't understand what they did to me. Huh? Pastor, you don't understand. This has gone as a generational thing in our families, and we just can't do that. That needs to be under the blood. I don't care what it is. Don't have anything specific in mind and saying all of that. It's just what God has given us. If you got stuff that is outside of that, you need to get rid of it. Things that don't bring you to the foot of the cross and that you can put your arms around your brothers and sisters and embrace them in Christ. We need to come and unburden ourselves. We need to come and get rid of some garbage out of here. It might be denominational garbage. It might be family garbage. It might be some other kind of garbage. It might be something personal. It might be the way that I comb my hair that you don't like. I want to encourage you tonight. There's an altar here. I'm so grateful for the altar. If you got any garbage in your life, come. Come tonight. Come tonight. How long do you want to leave garbage in your house? Brother Bob, how long does your wife let you keep garbage in the kitchen? You have to take it out at least once a year, don't you? Maybe twice a year? At camp meeting and then a special revival, huh? Take the garbage out. You know what? We have to take our garbage out pretty often. I see people, they've got these great big garbage cans. And when it comes garbage day once a week, it's all filled up and the lid is sitting up like this and some stacked on the ground. And I mean, I don't know how some people have so much garbage, but you know. I guess just two old folks like us. Well, I mean, one old folks like me and a young, beautiful bride that I have. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how people collect so much garbage. I'm putting you in a trap again. the bigger your garbage can at home. It could be the bigger garbage can that you need here. Physical garbage, spiritual garbage. If you have any of those thinkings that God said he hates, this is a place to get rid of it. Come and lay it on the altar tonight. Come and lay it on the altar tonight.